Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. Well, we've had a little bit of rain lately, but the sun is going to shine again. That is absolutely for sure. And it's going to shine really quickly because I have a wonderful guest on tonight who is a wonderful friend. I call him one of my best male friends in the world. And he has been on my show several times and even interviewed me on my 7-year anniversary. So without further ado, I have the pleasure and the honor of introducing, and most of you all know him already, my wonderful guest is the one and only Calvin Schwartz, professor at Rutgers University as well. Welcome, Calvin.
Hello, Nancy. Hello. This is such a pleasure and a joy, and I've been looking forward to this for a long time. You and I kind of reuniting, especially through the pandemic. But, you know, we get a chance to chat. We always chat, but now we're chatting so other people can hear us, which is fine.
Exactly. Yes, it is. It's wonderful. I love it. And I do look forward. I only did one Zoom. I know. Oh, and okay. So I got to really go to the meat of my show and get that over with so that we can just talk and I can ask you questions and things. The premise of my show has always been, I always ask one question at the beginning of my show for almost eight years now. Or it has been 8 years. On September 13th, it was 8 years. And the question is this: who influenced you the most while growing up and why?
Wow. You know, that's a powerful question. And at the top of my list is my mother. And as I'm sitting here talking to you, there's a picture of my mother hanging over my computer on the side. She gave me the values and the lessons about life that I still use today. The things that she did for me, the things that she taught me, the values, I still use today. And it's funny. I will talk about it maybe later, but I wound up teaching at Rutgers University last fall, and a huge honor. And actually, one of the things I used to tell the students is this particular lesson came from my mother. So
right.
It was important for me. And, of course, you know, growing up also, as I became a teenager and I went into college, you know, President Kennedy was a hero of mine. So was Dr. King in
right,
so many ways. So
mm-hmm.
I'm the byproduct of my mother and Kennedy and Dr. King and probably a few others thrown in there. But
yes,
that's a good beginning.
And I think that that's why we had that instant connection so many years ago at America's Cup or whatever it's called on Cookman
right.
Avenue in Asbury Park, because I, too, had those kinds of values instilled in me by my mother and my father. And so, well, my father was more of an Archie Bunker type, but he had to be with so many siblings, seven, but I just want to say that today on my way home, I was running around and I thought of one of my mother's. My mother was big on cliches. And so I was thinking of this in reference to something that I'm going to do in the future. And it was this cliche. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. And I don't know why that came to my head. Because I was just thinking of bartering. A lot of people are bartering today with the pandemic going on and looking at and working differently. And I watched last night, I watched Bill Gates on TV on one of the late shows. And Bruce was on last night. I missed him and I was so mad, but my friend recorded it and she's going to play it. But getting back to you, Calvin, and teaching at Rutgers, I want to ask you a question about that, because I have a question here, and it's, how did you ever become a teacher and a lecturer a professor at Rutgers with no teaching experience?
Yeah, that's a loaded, loaded question. And let's see if I can encapsulate. I was a teacher. My official title actually was teacher lecturer, but the students had to call me professor, which I kind of liked. I have no teaching experience. Actually, the teaching experience I have is I've been married to a teacher for 43 years. But that's not how I got the position at Rutgers. Everybody knows I'm a Rutgers grad, and I love my alma mater. And over these last couple decades, I began to give back more to my alma mater. And especially as I became a journalist 7 or 8 years ago, I really jumped into all the opportunities to network with students and eventually to mentor students and to guide them, basically in lessons of life. You know, I call it navigating life. And I was so involved in using all the lessons I've learned as a journalist with NJ Discover, and all of these things since you and I have known each other. That's exactly how long I've been a journalist. So I'm able to give that back, and it's so interesting. And then of course the networking aspect of my life, which is very unusual. I'm a great networker, and I've networked on LinkedIn, and people should know that over the last 2 years I've collected 12,000.
That's incredible.
LinkedIn, Rutgers LinkedIn
really?
Questions. And that's
awesome.
One-on-one organic. And so you put the 12,000 Rutgers people I've networked with and connected. And then you put me with 12 or 14 students, and I'm talking to them about networking, communication, and media. And a professor walked by 2 years ago and saw me and said, "Can I have your business card?" And she observed and listened to me, and I gave her my business card. I didn't think anything of it. And then in August of 2019, Professor Cleary called me and said, "Would you like to teach at Rutgers?" And that's how it all happens.
That's so awesome.
Story.
That's so awesome. That is just really wonderful. I hope my phone doesn't ding again. I told people, I say hello. I guess they don't realize that I call into my studio with my iPhone, and I have a radio show landline, but somebody's dinging me. I never have that happen. So she apparently is not aware. She's in Walla Walla, Washington, and she's unaware, I guess, that I told her. I said I have a radio show in like 10 minutes, but I guess she doesn't get it. But anyway, it's fine. I forgive you, Aniko. We'll get back to you, Calvin. I think that's like so awesome, and I can so relate. And people, you know, should also relate to that. Because I had the opportunity to go to college, and I, even from when I was young, I wanted to get out there and make money. My first job was 14 years old on the boardwalk in Asbury Park, and when it came time for me to graduate high school, which I did, of course, I didn't want to go to college. I went straight to Manhattan, and I went to work. And I just, it was so incredible because all of my learning experience, just going to work, being a hard worker, and doing, you know, just doing my natural, I was always interested in everything. And, I call my cat a nosy posy, but, like, that's how I am, very nosy about things. So if I hear a word or hear about something, I go Google it and read about it and find out about it because I just want to know. I'm nosy. But getting back to your, you know, being offered that, being a professor at the university is such an honor, like you said, and with no real teaching credentials. But life is about, you know, my dad, and I won't talk about me, but I want to get right back to you. But my father, rest his soul, my father didn't even graduate. He quit school as a sophomore in high school, and he started building boats, and he had a very successful boat business, and he built Ryan Sea Skiffs for 13 years. And the problem was that my father but the best of the best in his boats. And then he didn't really have that. He was just such a good guy that he didn't know how, like if somebody was late on their payment, he didn't know how to go about, you know, he should have sent some muscle over there or something maybe, but he didn't know how then to collect. So then he was picked up by a very smart guy, and he worked his way up to my father with no formal education, you know, just a God-given talent. My father was superintendent of and built a multi-million dollar construction company. So there you go. And like I did the same thing. I didn't go to college, but then I left and went to San Diego, and I was a manager for large corporations, and I made oodles of money. And I remember one day a girlfriend, and then we'll get back to questions for you. She said, we were just talking. I don't even know how it came out because I never really shared people how much do you make or anything like that, but I was like living in a five-bedroom house and on a third of an acre, and it just came up like, hey, Nancy, like, what do you do anyway? Because I said I never went to college, you know. I went right to work. And she was curious. So I told her how much I made, you know. She goes, my God, are you kidding? And I said, no, of course I'm not kidding. I wouldn't kid about that. And then it was all everything else. It was matched 401k, 100% paid everything. It was ridiculous. I can't even tell you. And she goes, well, that's really nice for you. I'm an intensive care nurse, and I had to go to school for years in college and then go to school for years to become an intensive care nurse, and you're making more money than I am. So there you go. So there's the source.
Yep.
I'm getting back to questions. Okay, question number two. This is why I need 3-hour radio shows, because I get so darn excited hearing, and I've known you a long time.
Yes,
and
I was
so excited when I heard about, you know, your professorship, and I was flapping it all over the world like I do everything. And, well, not everything. And then I had some little gifts that I sent you from Rutgers that I collected, and I was so happy to do that. So here we go. Oh, and my niece, also one more thing. My niece Amal got a 4-year full paid scholarship to Rutgers Law School. Congratulations to my lovely niece, Amal. Okay.
Correct.
So I'm going to ask another question, and we'll move along because you have to just interrupt me. That's what I should say in the beginning of my show. I have my chatter teeth here. That doesn't stop me. Nothing stops me from talking. Okay. You studied at Rutgers College of Pharmacy and became a pharmacist. Oh, and I'm a pharmacist.
Right.
I call my pharmacist all the time rather than even my doctor, and I try to do mostly everything holistic. But anyway, why did you give up fashion?
That's a great question. It's an interesting question. And actually, I've kind of learned over the last 4 or 5 decades why I did do that. Growing up, My uncle and 2 cousins were pharmacists, so my mother insisted I become a pharmacist. And everything about the studying to become a pharmacist was not something I liked. I didn't like physics, and I didn't like chemistry, and I didn't like science, and I didn't like mathematics. So, there was nothing. I kind of like pharmacology because, you know, I use it today to try to stay healthy. But bottom line is the whole curriculum, it really wasn't meant for me, but I did it. And then I graduated and I became a community pharmacist, and I did it for a lot of years and just realized that it's not for me.
Right.
And I didn't really understand it's this heavy duty stuff. I didn't understand what was inside me. There was something that wanted to come out, something creative, some writing stuff that wanted to come out. So it was stuck. And then it was probably one of the bravest things I ever did. I woke up one morning on February 3rd, 1981. I remember the day well. And I was a relative newlywed. And I looked at my wife, my supportive, wonderful wife, and said, I quit.
Yes, Grant.
Yep, and actually, she thought I was quitting marriage. I said, no, I'm just quitting my profession. She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I just, today's the day. I just can't. I gotta quit. I gotta." And I quit. Wasn't easy, and I didn't really know what to do with the rest of my life. So, I mean, I sat home for 6 months. I always joke about it. Teaching. We were living in East Brunswick. My wife was teaching in Brooklyn, and I'm sitting home for 6 months watching One Life to Live, Ryan's Hope, General Hospital,
boy.
And the.
You took a break.
Yep, and eventually, with the help of some friends and family, they kind of got me into eyewear sales, and I became an eyeglass regional manager and salesman. But that's why I got out of pharmacy. It wasn't for me.
Yeah. Well, I have a question. As a licensed pharmacist then, back in the day, did you give injections as well, like flu injections and things like that?
What a great question. It's a great question because I've actually been discussing this with a couple of pharmacists thinking of interviewing them. No. The whole profession
because
of pharmacy.
They're all doing that now. They're all doing that now. They not only do
they're
it.
They're all doing
they
that
actually,
now. They're be- yes. They're becoming.
They mixed everything.
Very
good
part.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead, Nancy.
No, I just, like, I had this experience, and it was, that's why I asked the question, because I had a young guy, and he was actually at the cash register when I went at Walgreens, where I go. And then all of a sudden he's going to give me my flu shot. Was it the flu shot? No, it was actually the second booster of the Shingrix shot that you get one and then 2 months later you go back to the next one. So I watched him go from the cash register over, and actually I looked away for a minute because people were walking close to me and I don't like it when I'm out. I'm trying to be very careful and, you know, because of the COVID. And I only go out to grocery shop and do chores and get what. But anyway, make the long story short, I watched him. He was actually preparing. He was drawing the amount of the booster that he needed to do. He didn't have gloves on. It kind of upset me in a way because I'm thinking he needs to have gloves on. And I hope that he at least Purelled his hands before he starts making my injection. So I was teasing him on the way into the room that you go into when they get the injection. I said to him, "Oh, this is great. Okay, so I come out from my booster Shingrix, and you're going to kill me today. You're going to kill me. I'm going to get, you know, COVID, or I'm going to get some germ that you didn't have gloves on," I said. He goes, "Oh, don't worry about it. I was very careful, and I sanitized my hand." I said, "Okay," but he was laughing then. And he was so young. I mean, these pharmacists today, they're so young, and they do all of those shots. The flu shots, they do everything. I mean, so, and I actually worked in a pharmacy. I worked for a veterinarian in California. I like to experience everything. And I worked for 4 months for a Menaki Animal Hospital. And so part of that involved working in the pharmacy. So, you know, I know, like, oh, my God, we were a pretty busy hospital, too. So, you know, you had to be very careful then. But I wouldn't have wanted – I didn't have to study that much to do it. I had to just be really reliable. I had to sign papers off and know what I was doing. I mean, I had to study to work there. But anyway, getting back to questions. So you went, and then you were selling Ray-Bans, and you worked for Pearle Vision. That's the world's largest eyewear company, I said.
Well,
I
didn't work for Pearle. I worked for the company that owns Pearle. It's called Luxottica.
Oh, right. Luxottica.
Luxottica. And it's kind of an invisible company, even though they own virtually everything in the eyeglass business.
But
started with them pretty close to the beginning of that company when they were just a manufacturer and I was a manufacturer sales rep selling eyeglasses, period.
Right.
But I experienced, I mean, being there, I saw them grow by leaps and bounds and what's good. And I'm having spent 25 years there working for Luxottica. Yeah, as a regional sales manager. And my boss is I mean, I don't work for them now, but he still is the richest Italian in the world, worth somewhere in the vicinity of $30
billion. Wow, that's amazing.
It is amazing. And I interacted with the son basically weekly for, you know, 20, 25 years. And what I learned from this multi-billionaire is priceless. You know, you learn about people. You learn selling. Yeah. So that's also part of who I am today and what I am is what I've learned.
Right. Well, you know, that's what they say. Oh, I got to stop. I got to look at my chatter teeth. Hold on. I get too excited. I didn't even eat any chocolate or coffee, so there's no reason for this except that I get excited to talk to you even when we're not doing a show.
Because we're hanging out here.
We are hanging out, right. We are hanging out.
Right.
And you remind me of, like, when you share, this is what my thing is. That's why I'm going to change the way I handle my show after 8 long years. And it has worked well. It's just that there's a better way for me to do it, that I get my guests to talk more and me talk less. So I'm going to be asking more questions and then maybe even go over and take Matthew McConaughey's True and False. He did his very, I think we talked about this personally, he did his very first interview of Dr. Fauci, and I saw it on TV, and he was awesome. And it was great because the focus was always on Dr. Fauci. I mean, Matthew did add some personal things about him, his experiences too, but not like me. I go off on a tangent. It's just my personality. So, but I had the opportunity too of working with very, very extremely wealthy people, and I was in management, and I learned so much from them. And they also they have high expectation of your performance. And so that almost makes you, you know, I mean, it did me anyway. I mean, I wanted to be noticed in that company, and I got noticed really fast. And I worked my way up, you know, and it was awesome. We worked hard. We played hard. And it was a wonderful job. So anyway, getting back to you, also, never, you know, studying writing or getting involved in that. You didn't have that in your background. So, and I have your first novel, which is Vichy Water. So, like, how did that come to be that you decide, and you're working on a second one? I know you have a plans. You're working on a second novel. So when did you get the pen out and say, oh, I think I'll write a novel to boot, not just a biography or a mammography or whatever. It's not a mammography. That's a woman thing. You know what I mean. How did you just say, well, I'm going to write now. I'm going to write a book, a novel.
Whole thing. It would take several hours to explain. And actually, my second novel explains why I wrote the first novel, if that makes sense. So I had never written before. I was not trained to be a writer, but it was 13, 14 years ago. One morning I went to go play tennis. It was raining, and I couldn't play tennis, so I didn't know what to do. It was 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I had all this pent-up energy. And then there's some force, some universal force that came over me, and this is heavy stuff. And the force said, Calvin, go watch Casablanca, the movie. And I've seen it 50 times. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the clear blue, I went up and I watched it for the 51st time. And at the very end, the scene where Bogart shoots the bad guy and this great character actor, Claude Rains, picks up a bottle of Vichy water. It's 1942 to celebrate the death of the bad guy, the German guy. And in the 1940s, if you had the word Vichy, V-I-C-H-Y, it usually meant you were conspiring with the Germans. So it was a bad connotation. And Claude Rains throws a bottle of Vichy water in the garbage. And the second it hit the bottom of the garbage can, it took a second, I let out this blood-curdling scream, oh, my God. And my wife was downstairs, and she yelled up, are you okay? And I said, there's a novel. in my head. Completely.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. It's really heavy. And of course, I've gone on to find out over the years and trying to understand where it came from. I kind of understand now. It really was a spirit or intervention in my life. And actually, the writing of that novel has brought me to you, has brought me to journalism, has brought me to NJ Discover, has brought me to Rutgers.
Right.
I mean, the whole function for me of having written a novel had opened up so many different doors for me, changed my life.
Right.
And here we
right.
are.
Yeah.
And
I know, and I've tried to read the book, but it was like I even told you, I said, my God, that's a bit heavy for me, and very long. I like short stories or like the magazines, you know. I don't have the attention spans, my problem. I get very like, and I am a writer myself, you know, I'm a songwriter, so I've written over 100 songs, but and I am writing a book right now, and I've gotten up to 30 years old so far. And it's just because I've had so many I'm a wild child. Like, you know, I grew up in Asbury Park. I call myself the Irish, like I'm an Irish Catholic redhead from Asbury Park, New Jersey. I mean, I think that says a lot in itself. And so I was just, you know, out of the chute 3 days later, I was working in Manhattan. I have a lot of experiences being a musician, too, as well. So I'm writing a book, and it's, like, fascinating. And I wish I could be like you, more disciplined. You told me once, you said, Nancy, just sit down. And this is for other writers out there that I have lots of friends. I've had lots of authors on my show other than yourself. And, you know, you gave me the greatest advice. Sit down every night. Just do one page. That's all, one page a day. By the end of the year, you'll have your book. And, you know, that's really true. But now I am so not disciplined because I'll tell you what, because I had to be so disciplined growing up and going to school. And I was a night owl and I went to parochial school. So off and man, back to you. So you're writing a new novel now. You are with Tara Jean McDonald, Vital, and you do shows with her forever. She's a co-host of yours and you do shows on TV. And, you know, I'm thinking what you said about Fran, and I only met Fran once, and that's all it took for me to meet her, to see what a wonderful person she is. And I didn't even know, I was telling a friend, I was talking about you the other day with one of my best friends, and I said, I have to ask Calvin, and then you answer my question tonight. I said, oh my God, I was there, because he interviewed me for Spotlight years ago, and I said, my God, their home is gorgeous. I said, I thought that he was a designer, an interior designer maybe. And then she did tell me that she did do mostly all the designing, but I didn't know that she was a school teacher her whole life. So, and I'll bet you a lot of that rubbed off on you, because how can you live with an educated, like a school teacher your whole life and not be affected by that, you know? I mean.
Correct, it rubs so, off.
So it rubs off, you know, the people that you hang up with, that's what they say, birds of a feather flock together, and I believe in that. I do. I really believe that. So I'm careful of the people that I choose and that I have in my life, very few, by the way. But let's go back to here, to the writing.
Okay.
And the networking. The networking is like, you know, the link. I mean, as you know, I have networked myself. Like to death, and it's really, really been beneficial. But that's what I worked for. I worked for a vitamin and nutrition company, and we were a networking company. So, getting back to this, you love networking and branding. Do you have some stories to tell about that?
You know, I do, and these are great. I think these are great lessons. For example, when I started my journalism career, when I first met, it's 9 years now, and that's how I met. My first interview as a journalist was with Tara Jean McDonnell Vitale, and she hired me to write for a couple of for a magazine, and then she introduced me to Kirk from NJ Discovered, and changed my whole life around. But at that point in my life, I thought I wanted to distinguish myself, so I needed to come up with a brand, and that's when I thought of wearing a Rutgers hat 24/7. So I've had a Rutgers hat on my head, as everybody knows, for basically 9 years. The only time I was not allowed to wear it officially was when my son got married. It was a tuxedo wedding, and I couldn't wear my Rutgers hat. But I wear it. So that's a branding. So the networking, this is one of my favorite stories because it's so powerful. It was at the Garden State Film Festival in Asbury Park 2 years ago. And I'm just going to tell this one little anecdotal story. That night, the Friday night of the Garden State Film Festival is the cocktail party, and everybody's running around. There's like 400 people in convention hall, and you know it's food hors d'oeuvres and directors and actors and actresses and producers and everybody who's in the business and media, and it's just a great event. It really is.
Which I have never attended, unfortunately.
It's a wonderful, next time, we'll do that, you and I. It's just a great, fun, it's kind of a slice of Hollywood there. I mean, you have a lot of, quote, Hollywood people there.
That night
I had met three different filmmakers that had come over to me, one because I was wearing a Rutgers hat. And each one are unique and different. Each one I've gone on to interview because of that. But maybe the best thing that happened that night was, and these were all good things, but a woman came over to me that night, and she came over to me. She saw my Rutgers hat, and she said, "Excuse me, are you a Rutgers professor?" And this was a few years ago before I was a Rutgers professor. And I said, no, but I said, I wish I was. And we exchanged cards because that's a great thing to do. And I gave her my business card. And she gave me hers. I put it in my pocket and never paid any attention to it until 2 weeks later when this woman called me. As it turns out, her name is Dr. Gloria Bachman, OBGYN. She's the director of the Women's Health Institute at Rutgers Robert Wood Johnson Medical School. And she asked me to go as a journalist, and I went to that lecture at the medical school, the hospital, and then she called me again and said, come to another one. I said, sure. Then I was invited to go to a luncheon because she's written a million papers and research papers, and I went. And then she asked, would you like to be on the advisory committee of the Women's Health Institute? And I said, yes, and that has been transformative to me because I've gotten very involved in the Women's Health Institute. It's a great story. It is a great story.
Yes, and you recently interviewed her, right? You because we're going to come down to those to talking about like what I was going to announce in the beginning, and I'm glad I did not, is because, you know, we kind of went from the beginning and to the middle and went through all of your progression of how you became like where you are today. And that's really what my show is about, actually, from childhood all the way up to present day. I think we're doing really well because I booked an hour with you because I knew there's no way we're doing this in 45 minutes. And I always go over anyway. So now I just do hour shows because I have to cut short a little bit for my not-for-profits. And that's why I started the show in the first place, was to give back. And I just want to bring out how much a respect I have for you, Calvin, and how much I admire you because of that fact. So many people, I mean, you know, they had the X generation, the number one, you know, only care about yourself generation, the this, that, and the other. But I think that in life, it's like the Beatles, one of the Beatles songs, you get what you give or whatever. I think it's so important. And when I moved back to New Jersey, I moved back to take care of my mother. And I left an awesome career. I left all my good friends of 28 years that I made there. But my purpose, after my mother did not, you know, passed away, I made it a point. I mean, I didn't do anything for those 8 years. And when my mother passed away, I just got back into giving back. And I said, the way I'm going to give back is I'm going to go and start, like I was a troubadour known as a singer-songwriter in Asbury from when I was 18 years old. So I started going around and singing around on the streets again. And then very quickly, I started going into all the clubs. And very, very quickly, I finished my album, my compilation album of my lifetime. You know, I had recorded many times. But getting back, I just want to say that gave me more joy to be able to take that time from my life to totally dedicate it to giving back and saying, hey, right, to like people like Matt O'Reilly, hey, I'd like you to come on my radio show and promote you like worldwide. Like and so it grew and grew and grew, but it started with the not-for-profit. Like my very first not-for-profit was the Nixons, and then it was Tent City, you know, a minister of Steve Brigham of Tent City. And these are all friends of mine still till this day that I support and that I promote. So I love it when you shared that you got involved with the Women's Health, with I have it in front of me. You just told me, and I have notes and things. But the Women's Net, you know, it's awesome because that's what this life is really. I think that COVID, if COVID does anything for us, and some people make light of it and say, it's just the flu, it's a cold. Well, that's fine for you if you believe that. That's fine. It's okay. But, and I try not to get really into it too much with people because there's no sense. Then I become a fool. You know, you can't, I don't want to argue with anybody over it, but I take it very seriously. And if anything, I think all good things are going to come out of it. And I think people are going to really learn that they need to care. And this is for whoever's listening. This will be my only shout out about that because I don't get into any of it, and it's not political for me at all. I'm asking everybody. I'm protecting myself and my own health because I'm at risk. I'm older, and I have some health issues. So I'm just asking people, please, if you don't like the mask, just don't walk toward people that have masks on because they are trying to protect themselves. And if you don't, you know, want to protect yourself, that's your deal. Just don't walk near me. Just please do me that on that respect, rather, just to respect each other's.
Right.
Respect is so important in today's world, and there's a big lack of it. And so that's my speech for tonight is if you want to believe that the world is fine and nothing's changed, God bless you. And I pray that no one in your family gets COVID or dies from COVID. But I have had a family die from COVID. So that's my speech. Now, after that, we'll forget about that now and get back to your branding and your Women's Health Institute. That is so awesome. And now we get to your involvement with angellightfilms.org. So now, what kind of films are they doing, and how are you involved with them?
Well,
and by the way, you were in a film with me. That's life. I said, come and be in the film. That's life.
Uh-huh.
And so how did you get involved with Angel Light Films? That sounds really cool.
We were in that scene together. Well, you were in the movie. I was just in which was fun.
Yes.
I mean, I love that.
Shout out to Anjanette. Shout out to Anjanette. She showed up. I met Anjanette that day. And Anjanette offered me a great movie. It was 99 degrees and 99 humidity in the summer. And she offered me a big part in her film Keys as the commanding, like the officer that gave out the daily duties to the officers. She said, Nancy, I have your shirt. I have your hat. I have your badge. Get up here. And I just had to turn it down. I said, Anjanette, I just can't do it. But then she did a whole 4-page spread in her magazine, Sky Magazine. So I had to do that. I had to give her the shout out because Anjanette is that day. This is how it works with the networking. She shows up at the end of the film. I look over and I go, oh my gosh, it was totally ad lib. We have a new member. We have a new member in our, because I was a Weight Watchers coach, or not Weight Watchers, but that kind of a person. And she came over and she was in the movie, you know. So Sean was so good with the, you can do whatever you want, Nancy. You know, you can ad lib, you can, don't worry about memorizing. I said, I can't memorize lines. But, and that was so much fun, wasn't it? I met so many great people at that film. I mean, during that film. And then I was offered, you know, another film with her. And if I'd had more time, I would be doing more films right now. But I don't. I'm okay, back to you. See, this is how I get off of it, because we're both, the arts are all consuming. The passion is what is the driving force. The passion, like, I don't need, thank you very much. I don't need any drugs. I'm a 60s generation gal. But I don't need any drugs. I just need my passion. And you too, as well, right. So tell me about the Angel Light films. What type, I mean, I can only imagine what kind of films they do.
Well, it's really interesting because that same night that I met Dr. Bachman from the Women's Health Institute, I also met Stephanie Angel from Angel Light Films. She had come over to me also. And I got involved in helping them out. They do a really interesting, she came from the Blacklist. She was a script supervisor, which is NBC's hottest TV shows. I think it's in its eighth year now. She came from there and she set up her own company, and she goes into children's hospitals where she finds children, young children with brain cancer. And they have all different kinds of blastomas and brain cancer, and she gets children to script and act and be in their own short film.
So awesome. Boy, she is an angel.
Awesome.
I mean, I do believe, there are angels on this earth. I do believe that. I've met many over the years, and I just find it, I find them to be so special and so blessed. I mean, blessed to even meet people like that. So that takes a lot. That takes so much heart because, well, for me, I'm so sensitive, and I've done volunteer work before, you know, and I had Tim, you know, McLoon, Holiday Express on my show, and what they do is so wonderful going into those. And I was a candy striper, and I couldn't continue to do it because I would be crying all the time. I mean, that's kind of just, I'm just so sensitive. The artists, and I think most artists, I'm not saying that people that aren't artists aren't sensitive. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying maybe some people are extra sensitive to it. And kind of like, I have to turn my face away when I see the SPCA ads of abuse. I can't, it makes me immediately cry. So I can't do it. So that is just fabulous. So what are you doing with them, with the Angel Light, you had them on the show to promote them?
Well, it's just an extension of all the networking I do. I try to find in the thousands of people I've connected with, I find people who are involved in cancer, who are in the medical field or involved in the Cancer Institute, and I try to put them together. So I don't even know if I have an official title, but I'll do some PR for them. I spread the word.
Right. That's awesome. That's fabulous. That is so fabulous. I was just down at the rescue mission in Asbury because I'm cleaning out. I have my own people that I send money to, and the little bit that I can anyway. And it just feels so good. I mean, that's the joy. And, you know, it just is very fulfilling and rewarding. And I'm glad I'm one of those people that is, you know, you got to give back. You got to, you know, It was just my time. I was 55 when I started giving back, and now I'm just been doing that. I retired at 55 for life. I was blessed to be able to do that, and that's all I've been doing. Is really supporting, in the past 8 years anyway, other people. So now it's my turn, and I'll be promoting myself. But I want to talk about what is just so exciting for me when I saw that you were doing this is, and I want to be able to say it, I want to announce, even though he's done a few shows already before I got a hold of him, but I want to announce that Calvin is now doing, on YouTube, you can watch it. He is doing Zoom live shows, and the show is called, which I love the name, Conversations with Calvin. And I'll tell you, Calvin, why I love this name so much, because I think, I don't know, maybe not, but I think I'm one of the few people that call you Calvin, because I want to call you Calvin, because I like that name so much. So a lot of people, and you go by Cal Schwartz, on your Facebook page, Cal Schwartz. And I just love the name Conversations with Calvin. And then We the Species now on YouTube. And it's like just so awesome that you are doing this. I mean, even though, I mean, you've done the TV, so you had that exposure and you've been on the stage, actually. Come on. We go so far back that that's the night Minister Steve, when you call, you said, I have a ticket for you, Nancy, to see Destiny's Bridge. And I met Minister Steve that night, and you were on the dais. You were sitting up on the stage. I have a picture of you, by the way. I should send it to you. I think I even used it once when I did a show with you, because I have a picture of you sitting at the very end. I have the whole stage, but you were sitting at the end, almost like the thinker. I think you had your head down. And, yeah, the thinker. That's what I think of you when I think of you, Calvin, the thinker. Oh, no, before I let you talk. Okay, I have to step this in real quick. This is what I think of you, Calvin, from when I met you the very first time. Of course, I thought, wow, this guy, because I am such a shorty and I've shrunk. I'm only 5'1 now. So I thought, wow, he is tall. And I have a picture of us, one picture in particular, that really shows the difference in our sizes. But the other thing I thought after we talked and had coffee and then we became friends and you got me that ticket and we went to some shows, you came to some radio shows with me about my music and we built this wonderful friendship. I always thought from the very beginning, maybe a few months in, who you reminded me of was a play that I attended when I was pretty young. And the name of the play, it was about Will Rogers. And Will Rogers was a guy, a man, and his motto in life, never a man that I didn't like. There was never a man that I didn't like. And the story and the play was all about this man that Will Rogers, who was so loved everybody, people. He just loved the people. I mean, that's it. And he was just an awesome person. And he didn't judge anybody. And he didn't, you know, he just loved everybody. And he talked to everybody. And he was just that kind of guy. And that's who you remind me of, because you just, you love like everybody. And you talk to everybody. And you don't have any, you know, so many people are so petty and gossipy and always talking people down and being rude and have all these terrible opinions. And I don't want those people near me, around me, because, and I'll tell you what, no, I'm not going to say that on radio. Never mind. I don't want to say that. But I will say that I met, no, I won't say that either. We'll just get back to you. I'm not going to say what I was going to say. That's the first time.
That's okay.
I'm getting smart. I'm getting smart. In my, I've been in radio long enough to know that, and it's really because I don't want to be that kind of person that puts a negativity out there. So I'm really glad I caught myself. Thank you, God. Thank you for helping me. And thank you that I'm talking to Calvin and he helped me with it. So anyway, so as a journalist and all these new Zooms that you're doing, a million, and you have 11, 12,000 now people. Oh, my God. You were right. You said to me a few years ago, You said to me, this new, by the time I finish the second novel, he goes, everyone in the world will know who I am. And you know what? I think you were right about that. I think you were right about that. So as a journalist, what are some of your important causes and stories, even though you've told me a few already? I'm sure you have some others.
Okay. So this channel that I launched, Conversations with Calvin We the Species, gives me a chance to embrace the causes and the people that have meaning. So, and because it's my channel, and of course you're going to be, as soon as you and I coordinate, you're going to be a guest on this.
I know. I have to put makeup
so,
on. No,
so, but the causes, it's been an interesting journey that, and it's the causes that have kind of moved me to set up this channel as a way to express, because I did recognize, and I have a lot of, my son has been my greatest supporter in addition to my wife in this whole project, but he guides me along. And we discuss all the time how the world is changing. Content is changing. The way people are going to get information is changing. So, but this, the causes that, and it's interesting because you're involved. The very first thing I did as a journalist, literally the first story I ever did is I went to Tent City in Lakewood.
Right.
I knew nothing
about
it, and I went there with Tyler, actually, the two of us, and we then spent on and off days there. We didn't live there, but for me it was one of the great eye-opening things, because Tent City was 25 minutes away from my house here in Central Jersey, you know, Monmouth County, and well, here you have up to 112 people living in tents. Without light and heat and water and obtainable food. And so that really set the course of my journalism. And of course I got involved with Jack and Destiny's Bridge and tried to help him. So that was, that meant so much to me. And then the side bar of that is, it also led me to explore hunger. And then Sarah and I, we went to the food bank of Monmouth and Ocean County and spent days there.
Right.
Storing hunger. And I went to seminars on hunger, trying to learn about hunger, and did stories on pantries and food banks. So these things were important. Then I drifted into the world of autism, which I knew nothing about. And did.
I know quite a bit about it. Autism.
Yeah.
But,
no. So autism, and then I got involved in our music world in Asbury, and then film, and then environment, and of course women's things, I think it's been a rich journalistic experience things that have meaning. Yeah.
Like I said, the giving back part of the networking and the Tent City and like that. I mean, I knew I wanted to promote not-for-profits and give back to. I felt so blessed that I grew up in Asbury Park, went to private schools. My father gave us everything that we could possibly need for a good life, a good education, a nutritious, wonderful. I just felt super blessed. And I go, I have to give back. And, well, of course, I don't really talk about this much, but I was in two ministries. I was in a paid ministry with North Coast Presbyterian Church for 6.5 years. And I was then, for 5.5 years, I was a volunteer with, who I love till this day, the Franciscan monks in Oceanside, California, the Mission San Luis Rey Parish. And I can't say that I started giving back when I came back to New Jersey, because that's, talking to you right now, that's really not true. I started giving back a long time ago. In fact, I probably was giving back even like, well, in high school when I was a candy striper, you know, and I left Stars the Academy and go over to the hospital. So I think I've always had that. Well, I'm the oldest girl of so many kids that I was almost forced into that position of giving back at an early age. And thank you for Mommy and Daddy for that. For a long time, I kind of resented that. But then in retrospect, you look back and you go, wow, I learned an awful lot. I learned an awful lot of life skills, you know, being a Cinderella. And any Cinderella out there can really relate to me and understand that, yeah, you know, at the time you think, wow, why were they so hard on me or why did I have to take care of all those little brats? But, you know, when I look back on it, it's like, thank God. Because I wouldn't be where I am today if it weren't for them, if it weren't for all of those experiences. Right. We are, and this is what I love about your new show, because we're going to be able to see those people. I mean, that's going to be awesome. I mean, like I said here, I'm in my, like, PJs, you know, and no mate. I usually fix my hair and put lipstick on. That's about all I do. And nobody could even really see me, but it makes me feel better as a radio show host. But for your show, of course, people are going to be able to see me, so I have to fix my background and I have to fix my hair up, and I'm so looking forward to it, Calvin. I really am.
Me too.
So, God, we got 3 minutes, and I still have to talk about, you know, I have to do my not-for-profit, so I always go over, but my podcast is so good to me. They never, ever, ever cut me off. They always just put the whole darn show on there. They never, so I'm pulling up my not-for-profits, but I have a few more things I just want to say to you. And I didn't get to ask you. I only asked you one of my questions, and it's okay. You know why? Because when I was at Hamilton Radio for 2.5 years, I would ask like 4 or 5 questions, and I even played music then. But I don't, now that I have been doing my own show for so many years from home, I just ask one question and then get on with it, you know? So I don't even need my questions anymore, really. But what I want to look at is this. I want to ask you really quick, if we can go through these last few questions really quick. Like,
sure.
Have you any heroes and inspirations, heroes and inspirations?
Well, wow.
Well, you told me who your heroes were, Kennedy and... You did
Dr.
mention
King.
Some of your heroes. Dr. King,
yep.
I adored.
Dr. King, Kennedy, you know, the heroes of mine. Hemingway, just genius.
Abraham
Einstein.
I have so many. I love him too. I have so many heroes. Heroes. You're a hero. You're one of my heroes. Minister Steve is one of my heroes. I have so many. Tim McClure. All of my not-for-profits are my heroes.
Right.
Really?
I mean, so there's plenty of heroes. And I have a new one, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I've now watched her.
Yeah,
her,
great.
The two movies about her. And it's funny, you said something before about Bird in the Hand is worth two in a bush or something. Well, in the movie, on the basis of sex, the story of the early Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she's asking a question in law school, and one of the students makes fun of her and says that exact thing to her, and she kind of put him down. So you had said that before, and I got a kick at that. But she's a modern day, she's just a modern day hero of mine. What she's accomplished.
Well, Judge Judy.
I
like Judge Judy. Judge Judy rocks in my book. Yeah, anyway, we could go on and on. So you have interesting pursuits. You're doing this whole health thing, and I don't know what else to say. You just are a healthy guy. I know that. I mean, I know you do vitamins. You work out. You're like in excellent health, and So I'll just share that for you because I have to do my not-for-profits. If you want to say
and,
one
and
thing, you know, or about
do,
it.
You know what, Nancy? Go do
what?
Your not-for-profits because this has been great. I think my life is now an open book. We covered it. We covered everything, and I just can't thank you enough for this opportunity, my friend Nancy Ryan.
So, look, it, you are you're awesome, really, and I'm just was so blessed. And my sister Joanne was the reason why I met you because she met you on Facebook. Well, and then
right.
I don't know if she told me about you or how it happened, but and so thanks, Joe, for that introduction. And then we met for coffee, and it, the rest is history. And I really do believe that everything in this life happens for a reason. And you know, the best I'll leave it with: this show was awesome. I think I was a good girl. I caught myself. I tried not to talk too much, and I want to thank you for coming on the show. And I look
and
forward. I really look
you.
Forward. Yeah, I look forward to doing the show with you, and I will let you know as soon as possible. I'm going to just say that I am in the process, and I had put it out there already, so I can say it. I am working with a very wonderful young. I'm going to call him. I guess I'm going to call him. I like sometimes nickname people. I'm calling him the Music Man. His name is Kyle Ward, and Kyle Ward is he worked at the Lake House as a music teacher. He graduated from Berklee Academy of Music up in Connecticut, I think it is, not the one in California. It's spelled differently as well. But he is a multi-instrumentalist, and he just left the Lake House. He's starting his own business now, and he's going. I'm working with him right now as we speak. We'll be doing just two sessions. We're both very quick, so I am getting ready to release. I'm going to give myself a shout out right now after I thanked you so much for being on my show, and you are very instrumental in my career because I took you to my first. It wasn't my first interview, but it was one of my second interviews with Rock and Tommy, and then I did three interviews with Rock and Tommy, and you came to two of them, so you've been in my music career forever. But I dropped my music, and I got right into broadcasting from when I was on a Joey Reynolds show in New York City before I was even on any internet stations here. So look out, world. Ryan Rocks is releasing immediately upon when they're done three new songs out of, I have 100 songs, but, and the link to my album that I kind of, my compilation CD of three songs, I just let it kind of sit there. So that's going to be going worldwide into all the country stations and all over, all the stations all over the world. I'm a rock, country rockabilly. In fact, Kyle Ward said this, Nancy, I think this new song is great. He goes, I go, well, what genre is it? He goes, it's country, blues, and rock. So we're working together, and we will be working together on my next three releases. Well, probably I could say we'll be working on my next album. So he's awesome. You can find him on Facebook. And his new company, he's still teaching guitar from his studio in Rumson. He will be recording. He's got a fabulous recording studio. So anybody that's out there that's listening to me, any of my former musician friends, you can go over, just get in touch with Kyle. It's Kyle Ward, kylewardmusic.com, I think. Just go to Kyle's Facebook page, and you'll find his telephone number. Call him up and make a date because he is awesome. So that's my shout-out, and now I'll do my not-for-profits. But thank you again, Calvin, you stayed on the phone listening to my big shout out about me and my, you know, that's the first love of my life is my music and writing. And, same thing just took me away. It just, I fell in love with it. And I went full circle with Joey Reynolds. He was on my show about 6 months ago, and he's just, I love him. We've been friends forever. And I've had so many, met so many wonderful people. I mean, doing this show, I've been richly blessed. And it is true. It's just from networking, getting out there, putting your name out there, and being willing to give of your time, give of your talent, give of your whatever it is. and even pay for it. It's not like I'm not making any money on this. You know, it's like it's the love. It's the love is what it is. And I'm not saying, hey, you guys, make the money. Go ahead. That's fine. But anyway, one of these days, maybe I'll make some too. You never know. I'm looking forward
hey,
to my next release.
You know what? I think you and I, we do this out of the love of doing what we're doing. It's not
yeah,
about
and I will continue.
That.
Yeah, it was
about,
never about that.
No. So, you know, you and I are very much alike that way. You know, we do this out of love
right.
and giving back, and there's a lot of giving back that needs to be done.
Yes, definitely, definitely. That's gonna. I think that even I got a Dr. Fauci. Bill Gates was so funny last night because he was on James Gordon, one of my favorite. You know, he's from London and he's so talented, super talented. And of course, I'm a night owl, so I watched the show. And I missed Bruce. I was so mad. I had it on my calendar and everything, and I missed seeing him. But my friend recorded it, but too forever. I got to get off the show. For show. But anyway, he said something like this. James Gordon's so funny. He goes, well, I can't come to your – he's having his 65th birthday, I think. And he goes, I'd love to come to your party because he does a Halloween party, like a big party, a dress-up party. And he put a hat on. He looked so funny, Bill Gates. He goes, oh, I hope some people just came in and viewed you now because it's hysterical. They'll wonder, what is Bill Gates? Boy, he's a weird guy. But he goes, well, I'm going to do this, Bill, since I can't come to your birthday party. He goes, well, maybe my 70th birthday, by then you can come. But he said this, James Gordon said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, William. He said, I'm going to send you a birthday card every year with $5 in it. I laughed so hard. He's a comic, you know. And then he goes, oh, no, now that you were so nice to me, I'm going to have to send you a card with $10 in it. Like he really needs. He goes, what do people get you anyway? Like for your birthday, you have everything. And he goes, yeah, well, you're kind of right about that. He goes, I always enjoy my birthday. I like to play. Anyway, it was a great show. So James Gordon, go. Hey, people, record that show. And you know, record all the late shows. They're great. Well, he took over for David Letterman. I love David Letterman. All righty. Well, with that, I'm going to have to do my not-for-profits now. So, Kevin,
all right,
you
did your not-for-profit, and you and I will we'll plan.
Yeah, we have to make a date.
Yes, we will.
I wanted to do the show after I released my first song. So the name of my song, I can tell people. No, I'm not even telling people the name of my song.
That's right. Nancy. When you release that song, you'll come on.
That's when I want to do the show.
And you'll promote that.
Yeah. Okie dokie.
Okay,
bye, Calvin. Bye. Tell Fran I said hello. Tell the prodigal son, Neil, that I say hello. And his little doggy, too, and his girlfriend and everybody. Okay. Bye-bye.
You will. Okay, bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Love you. Okay, everybody, that was Calvin Schwartz. And most of you know Calvin, so I'm sure you'll enjoy tonight's show, radio show. And I hope you enjoy all of my shows. So I'm going to go through my not-for-profits really fast because, as always, I went over. But my podcast, they love me, and they're just going on, and they're recording all my not-for-profits, thank God. So, and actually, the very first I had to drop one of my not-for-profits because they retired, but they did such a wonderful job for so many years and gave so much back that I'm going to name them anyway tonight. And they're not doing the not-for-profit, but it's Gregory and Karen Nixon, Helping Hands of New Jersey. Thank you for all of the work that you've done over the years. And it was a pleasure to promote you for 8 years on my show. But this will be the last time. And I wish you the very best of health and happiness in your retirement. These are my current not-for-profits, and they have been for many years. Minister Steve Brigham, and formerly of Tent City, and now you can find him through Lakewood Outreach, and also Tawny Holmes on Facebook. Berman, City of Angels Recovery Radio, Michael Schwartz, Hometown Heroes. Kim Guidango, she is the president and CEO of Fulfill, and it used to be called Oh, and she was our former lieutenant governor as well. It used to be called the Food Bank of Monmouth and Ocean County, but now it's called FOFIL. Now, all of these people, I haven't had Kim on my show, but I would like to have her on. I had the former person on, but he's no longer with them. Paul A. Ressler, president and CEO of TUPAC, the Overdose Prevention Agency Corporation. And that's so important. All of these are equally important. Mr. Tim McClune, founder of Holiday Express and Restaurateur. And Tim, I hope that, you know, things are going well. I know you have 13 restaurants, and I hope you're being able to keep them running. And I love the Supper Club in Asbury Park, and I always, you know, wish you well. And I hope that I'm sure that you'll be going out to the hospitals, I hope. And you do so much wonderful work with the Holiday Express. Philip Richards, director of the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission in Asbury Park, New Jersey. And I was just there today, as a matter of fact, this afternoon. I dropped off a bunch of things for their thrift shop. They have an enormous thrift shop, and everything is welcome. So if you have a little bit of clutter like I did, you know, collecting things, and I just put everything in the back of my car, and second trip, and I have a few more trips to make. So they would be so happy to have whatever you have for their thrift shop. And the mission does so many things. I can't even get into it. But if you go to their, they're all on Facebook too. You can go on Facebook. If you have any time, talents, anything that you want to give at all from your heart, just reach out to any one of my not-for-profits. I do have, and this is just recently, maybe in the past 2 years, I have a few sponsors, and I'm happy to say that it's a barter. It's a barter thing, and I think bartering is going to become more important these days than ever before. Giving is the most important thing, giving, if you can, whatever you can. But the second is bartering. And so, you know, I think it's going to come back, and it has for me, and I'm very grateful for it. So I have Dr. Ronald Checkland, and he's a dentist on Sunset Avenue in Ocean, New Jersey. And he's actually one of my best friend's brother-in-laws. And so he's doing some work for me, and I'm promoting them, their business. Dr. David Marin, who is also became a very good friend of mine, and he's a chiropractor. He is the owner of the Marin Wellness Center in Shrewsbury. And they do physical therapy and acupuncture, and it's a fabulous place. I've been to them not many times, I think at least 3 times, and they put me back together. If I have any problems at all with my back or my shoulder, I just give them a call, and I promote them, and they, you know, do a little bartering with me, and I'm forever grateful for that. And the last one is my friend, and of course, Dr. George Peck. Dr. George Peck, hey, you know, I kind of am one of those girls that want to, like, age gracefully, and I'm not against plastic surgery. I'm just chicken, and it's also too expensive for me. But it's the Peck Center in West Orange, and I actually had some serious issues, and I don't really usually get into this, but I had an accident many years ago, and my nose, it really messed up my Jersey girl Irish Catholic bump on the nose, which I loved, actually. And over the years, I've had to have some surgeries to straighten my nose out again on my face. So anyway, he's one of the best rhinoplasty and septoplasty and plastic surgeons in New Jersey. And so all of them, a big shout out. So, and you can find them all, just Google them. So that's it. Maybe I'll come and see you in a while, Dr. Peck, about my ongoing nose issue. My nose is actually all made out of my ears, so you would think that I would be a better listener. That's like a joke of mine, because it's true. Over the years, I have had to have my nose rebuilt from actually the cartilage in the back of my ears, and so it's like hasn't been a pleasant thing, but God has gifted me so that nobody really ever knows. They don't look at me and go, hey, wow, Nancy, what happened to your nose? So I've been blessed. I mean, I've had many surgeries, too many to mention, but I've been blessed that it's looking good. My nose is looking good, and it's still on my face, which is a blessing. So I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. Stay safe, please. Stay safe. Stay safe. Blessings to everybody. Have a wonderful Thursday evening, and have a wonderful weekend to come. And with that, until next time, this is Nancy Ryan. Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park Style, signing off. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everybody.